Allah will translate this beautiful form of our Dara Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh. And we will just give a brief translation, explanation, little what we have heard from Hazrat. And obviously when Hazrat is here and he speaks, the effect is completely different. May Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq to say the correct words. And through Hazrat Tawajjuh, inshallah, it has a benefit in our hearts. Hazrat starts off saying, Do jaha ka maza usko haasil nahi, ah jo dil tere gham ka haamil nahi. A person can never ever attain the enjoyments of both the worlds, this world also and the hereafter. Normally in guna and sin, outwardly there is little bit of sin, but the person gets enjoyment. That is why he does sin. That is why he will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Outwardly there is some sin, but in reality the final result is destruction for that person. There is no real enjoyment. In this world also himself he sees it. He finally land himself in problems, difficulties, in troubles. What and what problems he goes into because of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some short while, a person will get some enjoyment, but then he's in problems. I read this one, true story. You know, when I mentioned it in class, so one of the students from Sudan, he says he knows this person. This person is from Egypt. So there was a person, he was in high school, in the university, and how unfortunately, generally today it is, people have haram relationships with other ladies. So he had a girlfriend, spent a lot of time with her, and eventually she fell pregnant. So when the brother heard about this, he was very, very upset. The whole family was very upset. So the brother came to him, he wanted to hit him. He held him and he said, how could you have done this to my sister? So he told him, what are you talking about? I got no idea what you're saying. Me, I never did anything to your sister. Go ask her who made her pregnant. I don't even know who your sister is. So, see, the brother got a shock. Now he didn't know what to say. He left him and he went away. He said, anyhow, I carried on my life. I didn't worry about that woman. I never worried about the child also. I carried on my life. A few years later, a short while later, I came home one day. And my mother, she had fainted. She was on the floor. I revived her. She woke up. She started screaming and she fell down again. Second time I revived her, she fell down. Third time again. And then she woke up. So then she's screaming and she's saying, how can it happen? How can it happen? Your sister fell pregnant with the neighbor's son. So I got a shock of my life. My sister, how could anybody have done such a thing to her? Immediately I went next door. I was very, very upset. And I got hold of this brother, of this person. And I held him and I wanted to hit him. And he told me, you see, this was what he told me hit my heart. He says, what are you talking about? I don't even know your sister. Go ask your sister who made her pregnant. I got nothing to do at all with your sister. He said the same words which I had said so a while ago, same thing hit me back. Anyhow, I left him and I went away. And to my mind, I was thinking, what a punishment this is for me. Anyhow, he says, I went home. I stayed there for a while. Eventually, I was about to get married. And just before I got married, my wife is telling me, we met her now, just about to make the nikah, a short while before that, she tells me, you know what, I'm not a virgin. He says, now I felt so embarrassed, but at that time now, what are you going to do? You say, I don't want to get married, people will ask you why. She says, I'm telling you the secret, because later on you find out, you'll be upset with me. So before we get married, I'm telling you. So he says, I swallowed my pride. I didn't know what to do. And I think of Ghairat, a person who's got a self-honor. This woman has spent some time with another man. How can I get married to her? So anyhow, I got married to her. And he says, and I lived with her for a while. Eventually we had a child, a daughter was born. And his daughter grew up, and once she was about the age of 6 or 7. And she came in the house crying and screaming. I asked her, what happened to you? So she said that, you know what, the guard outside raped me. So then I fell on my face. Ya Allah, please forgive me, make me maaf. Then I thought back in my life. That one woman, who I had done wrong with, she was somebody's brother. So Allah Ta'ala made it, my sister also, somebody will do something wrong to her. That woman who I had done wrong with, one day she will have to get married, she had to get married. So her husband had to go through disgrace also that she had spent time with somebody else. So Allah made me also go through the same difficulty, that I also had to go through the disgrace. And I had done wrong to somebody else's daughter. So Allah Ta'ala wanted to show me, your own daughter, I'll show you what happens to this. So Allah has got a deep system in the world, we can't understand. Sometimes in life we look around and we say, what's happening here, why did this happen? Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi mentions an amazing story. He says once, one Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sitting at the bank of a river. And while sitting there, he saw one man coming on a horseback. And he came and he had a belt of gold. So he jumped off the horse, he took the belt of gold, left it down, and he went to drink water. He jumped back on the horse and he went away forgetting his belt of gold. So one other person was walking past, he saw the belt of gold, he picked it up and he went away. After a short while, another man came, and he was sitting there. So the horseman returned. And the horseman said, "Hey, where's my belt of gold?" He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." So the horseman killed him. So now the Nabi of Allah is surprised, "Ya Allah, what is the hikmah behind this? I can't understand. This man did nothing wrong, he was killed. And the other man came and stole the money, he made so much of money, such a big thing he's got." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, "Oh Nabi, if you don't understand my hikmah and my wisdom." You see, this horseman, his father had stolen a very big amount of money from the person who had come, the second person who had come, the first person who had come. So Allah ta'ala wanted to give it back to him, from the estate inheritance, I wanted to give it back to him. And the second person, he had killed the father of the horseman. So I wanted to take revenge for that day, so this horseman came and killed him in exchange for his father. So Allah ta'ala has got a deep system in the world. Now also we see these xenophobic attacks and these problems happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got his own system in the world for working out different things. Our minds are very, very small. But what we must always look at, behind it, is the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has got usools and principles. Other day I found a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I read one hadith. Where Allah ta'ala says, "Anal musta'ir, I am the one who sets prices in the world." Normally we say the price of things are going up. But this hadith says, Allah ta'ala says, "I am al-qabid, al-basid, al-musta'ir. I am the one who withholds, I am the one who gives, and I am the one who sets prices." So always remember, in life a person is always complaining. From the past eras also, people are always complaining that these prices are going up. Prices never ever came down, they always went up in life. So, but Allah Ta'ala says, "I am the one who controls prices." We should always keep this in our mind. So whatever is happening in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got a system. In the 17th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Allah gives the example of a village. Three great bounties Allah had given them. Aminatan. Firstly, there was safety, there was peace there. People were living a very, very secure life. Mutmainatan, not only outwardly, but inside their hearts. Sometimes people are very safe outwardly, but in their hearts they've got no peace of mind. Allah had given them peace of mind. Yatiha rizqa raghadan min kulli makan. Rozi and sustenance came to them very, very easily, freely, from every place. And these are the greatest bounties in the world a person needs, is rozi and sustenance. Safety outside and inside safety. These are three great bounties of Allah Ta'ala. فَكَفَرَتْ بِيَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. But they were ungrateful to the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَذَاقَهُ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَسْنَعُونَ. Because of the actions which they had done, Allah Ta'ala made them taste the clothing of hunger and fear. Allah put hunger in them and Allah Ta'ala put fear in them. بِمَا كَانُوا يَسْنَعُونَ. The Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam came to them. Allah Ta'ala said, we send Anbiya alayhimu salam reminders, telling them, eat what Allah has given you, it's halal, it's tayyib, and make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, problems will come in your life. And we shouldn't look at those people with that kind of eyesight, but for ourselves. That we, how much of anashukri we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How ungrateful we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it mustn't happen tomorrow, this hits us back. Allah ta'ala can change. Today we're living in beautiful houses, and many, many times throughout history it has happened, where Allah ta'ala destroyed people. So anyhow, in this world also, with guna and sin, a person will never ever get enjoyment. And if he gets some outward enjoyment also, there is some physical outward enjoyment, but the real enjoyment of the heart he will never ever get. It's this person from France, Sheikh Yunus. See, he came now, so he mentioned an Ajib story, I can't remember exactly, I heard this from by somebody. He says there was one woman, one person, he was a Muslim person, and he was married to a lady named Fatima. Now she was a Christian woman in France, but had generations above, there was a Muslim person, but the people in France loved the name Fatima. They just loved that name, because there was a very, very pious lady in France many, many centuries ago, and she was known as a good lady, like how you get Florence of Nightingale and these people. So there was a very good lady, so because of that, the name of Fatima was common among the Christian people also. So he was married to her, he had no idea of deen at all. So anyhow, when the Sheikh met him, firstly he had no fikr and concern to live and meet the Sheikh. But the Sheikh anyhow insisted and kept on going and made dua. And eventually this person, he broke and he said, "Okay, what you want?" He was, "I'm drunk, I'm in a beer, in a bar. What are you calling me?" He said, "No, I want you. And he kept going against me, and I kept calling him. And eventually I called him and I took him out of the bar. And I took him to the masjid. He said, "I'm drunk, how can I go to the masjid?" He said, "You don't worry, you wash your mouth and you come." He took him to the masjid, encouraged him 3 days to go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. He comes back after 3 days, he owned 2 bottle stores. So anyhow, he told, "Close everything up, I'm closing everything up, I want to come out of this. I realize I'm changing my life now." Anyhow, he goes home and he comes back and he tells the chef, I'm divorcing my wife. I told her I'm a Muslim. Is that prepared to accept? I said, get out from this house. I'm accepting Islam. You must go. So anyhow, the chef said, how can you just divorce your wife the other day? Did you give her da'wah towards Islam? Did you show her the akhlaq of Islam? No, you don't go to divorce her. Phone her quickly and tell her I must wait for you. He says, the person phoned. So I went together with him. And they went to the house. He said, when they opened the house, the way this woman was dressed was so embarrassing for me, I quickly lowered my gaze and I turned around the other way, the other direction. Anyhow, I told her that, your name is Fatima. You know whose name is Fatima? Oh, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name was Fatima. And you know what a woman she was. And he explained a little bit about Fatima radiallahu anha. Then he started explaining about, she said, no, tell me about Islam. So he started explaining to her about Islam. So she heard about Islam, about half an hour she heard about Islam. And she was shocked and she said, I want to accept Islam. And then he says, what a thing, Allah put so much of iman in her heart. She said, I've lived my whole life of disbelief and wrongness. She said, you know what, Sheikh, I want you to go through my whole house. Whatever thing you can find in the house is against the command of Allah, Ta'ala, remove it from my house. He said, Muslims which are years and years are Muslims, they haven't got this fikr and concern. She said, take everything out of my house. So anyhow, he said, he went around the house, he took out whatever was not Islamic. Then the husband is telling the Sheikh that, you know, I closed my businesses down, two businesses. Now we've got no form of rosy and sustenance. I will trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tonight, myself and my wife will set up the whole night, make the hajj namaz and ask Allah ta'ala to give us rosy and sustenance. So his wife said, what? You can ask Allah ta'ala for that. That's small things of this dunya. She says that the whole life we've been in disbelief, Allah has given us rosy. We have to ask Allah ta'ala for the big things of akhirat, for his closeness. We cannot, I do not ask Allah ta'ala for the small things of this world. He said, imagine what? Imagine himself, he was shocked. That in a few seconds, like Musa alayhi salam's story, you think about how the magician said, do whatever you want to. And she, what a high level of iman in Islam. And then she phoned him after 2 or 3 weeks. She says, Sheikh, I wanted to speak to you. That you know when I go 3 o'clock in the morning and I make sajda before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the enjoyments of the world cannot ever compare my whole life what I lived in wrongness and an evil life. But the sajda when I'm making and it's the hajj namaz and I'm crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing in the world can ever compare to that day. So what enjoyment a person will get in this world also, when a person comes out of sin and guna. And as long as we are living in sin, there is a bit of enjoyment, definitely. There is no enjoyment, and there will be no imtihan and examination. There is a small, little bit of test, but behind the day is the enjoyment of Allah Ta'ala has kept in both the worlds. Greater than both the worlds is the connection of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's why Hazrat says here, a person will never attain the enjoyment of both the worlds. Ah, jo dil tere gham ka hamil nahi. That heart which does not bear and carry the pain of your love, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something which all of us must try to make effort towards, to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are living in this world, as our Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say, that the lowest level is dunya. A person who runs after dunya is running after something small and nothing at all. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they came across one kid, a dead goat on the floor. The ears were cut off also, foul smelling. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, anyone wants this thing here? For 1 dirham. He said, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even free of charge we won't take the thing. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la dunya ahwanu ala Allah min hadha. That this world is more zaleel and more lower in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than this. What is the size of this world? What is the things of this world? This world is so small, so is like nothing at all compared to akhirat. And on Buzurg, they gave a beautiful example. He says that the trees of Jannat, there's one tree in Jannah. If a person will travel in the shade of the tree, he will travel for 100 years. So this Buzurg said, let me work it out. How big is this tree? This is the shade of this tree. So he said, now you worked out that the cheetah normally runs at about 80 kilometers per hour. Cheetah runs at 80 kilometers per hour. And a horse, a fast moving horse, runs about 50 kilometers per hour. So 50 kilometers per hour, a horse in one day is 24 hours in a day. So 50 hours, 50 times 24, how many kilometers will a horse do in one day? See? MashaAllah, some brothers are asking, who don't use calculator, otherwise normally our habit nowadays is 2 plus 2. Think of ourselves, or 2 plus 2 is 4. When small children, they're working with calculators. So anyhow, 1,200. The horse does 1,200 kilometers a day. In 1 month, how much will that horse do? Multiplied by 30. 36,000. 36,000 kilometers, whereas the circumference of the whole earth is 24,000 kilometers. That means, in 1 month, a horse will be doing the whole earth and another half earth. So 1.5 earth. That's for 1 month. In 1 year, it will become 18 earths, the distance of 18 earths. And in 100 years, 1,800 earths, the size of 1,800 earths. This is just the saya and the shade of one tree of Jannah. So we can't even imagine what is the size of Jannah. Now if a person thinks to himself, but you know what, Jannah is so big, I can't believe it, it doesn't make sense to me, how can Jannah be so big? Like, I mean, 1,800 earths, this earth is so massive and so big. I'll never see the end of my car, my earth, how what a big earth it will be, my palace in Jannah. And what Allah has kept for a person in there, and the houses, and that, this is just one tree only. We're not even talking about the other bounties of Jannah. So now he thinks to himself, how can this be possible? So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us an example. He says, no, don't worry, there's an example for you in this world. The womb of the mother, the child is inside the womb of the mother. That child is very, very comfortable in the womb of the mother. You tell the child, you know what, when you come out of this womb here, there is a room which is 100,000 times bigger than this womb you're staying in. 100,000 times bigger. Example, this, in the womb of the mother, this masjid here must be 100,000 times bigger than the womb of the mother. So it's 100,000 times bigger you made. I'm so comfortable in here, my eyes can only see till here, my nose can only smell this, and the food I'm eating is the blood. You see, no, when you come out, there's 10 course meals, 20 course meals. You get biryani, you get akni, you get curry kichri, you get fish curry, and you get this, what and what different, and the juice, and the milkshake, and the cold drink, and you mention all the different things. He says, I can't believe it, man. I'm here, I'm drinking only milk, I can't even think something is solids and liquids you're talking about, and I'm not even getting any enjoyment through my mouth, it's coming through the umbilical cord. But the minute he leaves that womb of the mother and he comes out, and you show him 100,000 times bigger, he'll be shocked. Now his eyes will be strong enough to see this whole room. In Jannah, when a person will go, he'll be able to see his whole Jannah. We wonder, how can it be possible? Allah will make your eyes so strong. In this world, our eyes are weak, we can only see the things around us. In the womb, it's even weaker. However, there's one thing, one important condition. If you want to get the enjoyments of Jannah, you must come out fully formed. If the baby in the womb of the mother, his eyes wasn't formed, but that's not within our control, in the womb of the mother. But if the eyes weren't formed properly, it will come out in this world. He'll be able to hear, he'll be able to touch, he'll be able to feel, get some enjoyments in this world, but he'll never get the enjoyment of seeing. Seeing only that baby will get the enjoyment who comes out with his eyes fully formed. So when we go in the akhirat, if our eyes are not fully formed, we never stayed away from haram. So now we're not going to get the enjoyments of akhirat, we will be able to see, but our eyes will be very, very weak. So like how a person is a person is half blind, he can see also. But his seeing is very, very minimal, he can see 5 meters in front. Another person can see 100 meters. Another person, his eyes are very, very strong. He can see everything very, very clearly. So according to how much of effort we have made in this world, how good our eyes are, how good our mind is, how much of marifat of Allah Ta'ala we got, that's how much we will recognize Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's how much of enjoyment we will get in the year after. And this is the greatest thing. Other people, there will be who will get Jannah. So Jannah is very, very great. So Ankopar, we ask Allah Ta'ala for Jannah. We are very, very weak. But higher than that, and something which a person must make effort for, is the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Buzurgani Deen has mentioned, then when a person will see the core of Jannat, and we won't go into the details of that, because then we'll have problems here. But when a person will see the cores of Jannah, one core of Jannah, he will hug her for 70 years, he won't leave her. Then she says, oh, he will only look at her for 70 years. She says, only 70 years looking at me. It's still more than this. And when a person sees Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that's one core of Jannah, one creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Some ulama say, when a person will see Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, 70,000 years, some say 700,000 years, he will look at Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in complete shock and amazement. All the bounties of Jannah will come into like nothing at all for that person, just looking at Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, until Allah will go into a veil, into a parda. So if in this world, if a person has to get the love of Allah in his heart, he has to be able to see Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Physically we cannot see Allah Ta'ala, but that enjoyment, it comes in a person's heart. We can imagine this whole world, but then for the buzruk to say, I don't enjoy this world, I've got nothing at all, to get zuhud in your life, abstinence from this world, is nothing at all. Because the thing has got no value at all. If akhirat has got no value in your eyes at that time, when you will see Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, so imagine seeing Allah Ta'ala in this world. When a person has got connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then this whole, all the enjoyments of this world, all the bounties of this world will have no value at all. So this is something every one of us, Allah give us tawfiq. And as it comes in the Quran Kareem, Allah says, that a person who goes on the path, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُحَاجِنًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. You made the effort, your intention was there. You are making hijrah to the path of, in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And death comes to a person, the full reward is by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah will give you that reward, Allah will give you that rank, Allah will give you that status. But make effort for it. As Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, did he say the people in this world are asking Allah Ta'ala for everything, but they don't ask Allah Ta'ala for himself. He said, how sad it will be on the day of Qiyamah, when people will come before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah says, O my banda, what you ask for in this world? Whatever you ask for, I gave you this, I gave you this, I gave you this. There's some things I never give you. Today on the day of Qiyamah, I'm going to give it to you. And then a person will look, Allah, this person asked for this and this and this. But Allah says, you never asked for me. And this person asked for me, I'm going to give him my love, my muhabbat, my closeness. Then a person will regret. So he says in this world, ask Allah Ta'ala for him, for his love, for his connection. Even if you don't get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, even if you don't get it, and very seldom it happens, Allah makes a person deprived. Or Buzurgan Adin say, even if a person is trying, before death, Allah will make him see the effects of it in this world. And if not, if it happened not, but definitely in the qabr on the day of Qiyamah, and the person will get that enjoyment. And if a person did not even ask Allah Ta'ala for his love, he never made that small amount of effort towards it, how foolish is that person. So Hazrat says that the person will never ever get the enjoyments of this world also, and the akhirat. He will get enjoyment in akhirat, but the enjoyments of food, the enjoyments of eating, etc. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah gives a beautiful example. He says that the person who runs after the enjoyments of this world, he says is like, and believe on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says Allah is so beautiful. The kamalat and the perfections and the power and the qudrat and the greatness of Allah ta'ala and the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so much. And Allah is Khaliq, He is not a creation. And a woman, you're running after one woman and you're leaving the Khaliq and the Creator. He says, how stupid you are. The example of it is like, a person has got a dung beetle. The beetle will eat up the dung, it's good. And he got it next to him, and he got a beautiful maswal next to him. And the person is now looking at the dung beetle, he says, I love you. I've got so much of muhabbat for you. I've got affection for you. And he's leaving out the maswal. So you tell a person, you're so stupid. So he says, the connection of that dung beetle to the maswal is far, far less than the connection of the maswal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there's two creation of Allah ta'ala. You can still say, I've got love for the creation, they've got some qualities. She was a creation. But Allah is creator, Allah is Khaliq, Allah is not creation. So if you're running after that woman of this world, it's like you're running after a dung beetle. He says, how foolish is that person? A person must put his nazar on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are weak, we've got a lot of mistakes and weaknesses, but we can ask Allah ta'ala, cry before Allah, Ya Allah, grant me yourself. Ya Allah, forgive me for my sins, for running after the things of this dunya, for making these things my object of life. It's a very, very foolish person who has made these things object of his life. So he says, Aap chahiye hame ye karam aapka, warna hum chahne ke taqabil nahi. You know, Allah Ta'ala, we desire you. And this is only your grace. Otherwise, we are not worthy of your love. Why? Because we are full of sins. Kunaz upon kunaz, sins upon sins. Our whole life, what we have done, good. Even our ibadat, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says, even in your ibadat, you must make tawbah. Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Because in our ibadat, there's so much of weakness. So much of guna and sin, so much of wrongdoing, our thoughts, our walking, our sitting, our wasting of time. In every action of a person, he says tawbah is lazim, is compulsory for every person. It's impossible for a banda and servant to be without tawbah. He must continuously make tawbah for his whole life. Because no matter what we do also, we want to make shukr of Allah Ta'ala, where can we make shukr of Allah Ta'ala? Even that we are weak. So he says, that this is your grace, we desire you. But even with us desiring you, even us coming for the majlis, this is only Allah's grace upon us. You must make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Say Alhamdulillah, all of us. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Now we have to make shukr on the day that Allah gave us the tawfiq to make shukr. See? So then, when Nabi of Allah asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know Allah, your ni'mat upon me are so great, so many, thousands and thousands. If you make shukr to you, how are we going to make shukr upon that? Because your ability of making shukr is also from you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says that when the time you realize that you cannot make shukr of me, then this is my shukr. When you realize all the bounties are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's impossible for me to enumerate the bounties of Allah ta'ala to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the time when a person has made shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has mentioned that he says there are three things here for shukr. One is knowledge. A person must have knowledge firstly. He must realize that the bounty has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says whatever bounty a person gets in this world, a person must never attribute it to any person also. The person, Allah has used the person as a means, but he must realize it's a means. That ni'mat and bounty has come to me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. If a person has given you money, for example, he is, for example, you're an imam working in a masjid and a person comes and gives you, he is your, paying you every month your salary. But the money hasn't come from him. It has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will make shukr to him because he was the means. He says like the example of it is, if the king tells you, you must go to my royal treasurer and take out 1,000 rand from there. So you go to the royal treasurer, you got a pen and a paper, a page, it's written, they give him 1,000 rand. So you don't go now and thanking that person, Jazakallah, you gave me the 1,000 rand. He never gave it to you. He was just the means, the king, because the king ordered him, he gave it to you. He says when any person in this world is giving you a favor also, Allah puts it in his heart, he must give it to you. He's in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you can't use that person in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that thing, the person commands you, break Allah's command. That person's heart also is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You tell him, you're not in charge of my rozi and sustenance. Allah is the one who's giving. He's giving it through you. If you are not there today, tomorrow he'll give me to somebody else. I don't need you. Now, you don't have to be rude, but I'm saying, for example, if the person is ordering you now, break Allah's command. So, because I'm giving you money. No, it's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your yaqeen must be there. Every month the person gets his salary, he gets some money, a customer comes in the shop and gives you money. Do you ever thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ya Allah, you send the person in the shop. Alhamdulillah, ya Allah, it's only your favor. It's not that person's, his kindness, or that person gave me a gift or a hadiah. Allah ta'ala put it in his hand. So first is the knowledge you must have, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this thing. And then the second thing he says, hal, our condition. He says there are three conditions. A person must get extreme happiness when the bounties of Allah ta'ala come upon him. But there are three reasons why a person can become happy. He says some people become happy with the ni'mat, the bounty. Some people become happy because they are receiving and they hope to receive more bounties in future. And some people are happy with the mun'im, the one who has given the bounty. He says to understand this is a bit difficult, but I will give you an easy example. He says he is a king, he is going on a journey. So he tells one of his ministers that I'm going to give you a horse, or one of his friends, send a horse to that person, he can join you on the journey, give him a horse. So they give him a horse. So now either the person can be happy, hey, I got a horse. He doesn't worry that the king gave it to him. He knows my job can get done with a horse. I got a horse in my life. I can use it for my objects. I can use it for my purposes of life. Whatever my enjoyments I want to do. So this is not shukr at all. Yeah, he's using the horse, whether he found it in the jungle or he found it somewhere else, he is happy with the horse. You see, this is out of shukr completely. If Allah has given you bounties, Allah has given you wealth, Allah has given you food, and all of these things you are using, you are happy. Hey, I got this bounty. I'm enjoying myself. But you're not ever using it in the pleasure of Allah and the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. You're just using it for yourself, for your own benefit. This is not shukr. The second condition why a person becomes happy is, he is happy that the king is happy with me. That's why the king is giving me this, yeah. So he feels happiness. Hey, maybe the king is happy with me, he's giving me a bounty, I hope that hope in future, he'll give me more bounties. So they say this is a lower form of shukr. It's a very great form also. That when a person, now Allah has given him a bounty, he says, Alhamdulillah, Allah is happy with me, inshallah Allah will give me more bounties in future. So he's working for that more bounties, that Allah will give me more, inshallah, in akhirat, he will give me jannat, etc. But he says the highest level is when a person looks at the mun'im, the one who has given him the bounty. This person is taking the horse, he's so happy, why? I got this horse so I can ride and meet up with the king. I can stay in the sohbat of the king. I got my plane ticket, now I can enjoy Hazrat on his safar. So that's why he's happy, not because I got a plane ticket, I'm going to another country. But now I'm going to spend the time in the sohbat, in the companionship of the king. So Allah has given him bounties, he's using those bounties so I can get qurb of Allah Ta'ala. Everything he's got in his house, I've got this in my house, it's for my ease and comfort, so I can eat my food easily, and then I can spend my time in ibadah. I can make my namaz. I can make tilawat of Quran. I can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given me a smart car. Now I'm happy I got the car. I'm happy I got the car so I can use the car for the benefit of deen. I can move in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why a person must have. This is the second thing, hal, condition a person must get when he gets the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing which a person must do, he must make amal. Whatever Allah has given a person, use it in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never ever break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What and what bounties Allah has given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala complains in the Quran Sharif. And Allah, what a beautiful example Allah ta'ala gives. Allah ta'ala says, wa adiyati dhabha. Allah ta'ala takes a qasam on the horses. Wa adiyati dhabha. These horses are moving in the path of Allah ta'ala. They are moving in jihad. And they are running extremely fast paces. And they are panting. Allah says, dhabha. They are panting and they are moving. So we can imagine how fast they must be moving and running. Fal muriyati qadha. And when they are running on the ground, then sparks are coming out from the legs. They are running so fast that actually sparks, you can actually see sparks coming out and flying out. And normally when sparks, when you're running on cement, you can understand sparks coming out. But here the horses are running on sand. Because in those zamanas, in those times, there was no cement. They are running on sand. And on the sand, the sparks are flying out. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ subha. Early in the morning, Fajr time, they are attacking the enemy. They are not worried about their own sleep. But it's the time in the morning, early in the morning. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ subha. They are now attacking the enemy. And normally they say in the morning time, there's a lot of dew around. So for the sparks to come out, it's very, very difficult. But still at that time also, how fast they are prepared to give their lives. And they are running so fast. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقَعَ. And together with the morning, the dew is there. It's very hard for the dust to fly up, because the dew keeps it down. But all the dust is flying up. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقَعَ. All flying around. فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمَعَ. And the horse goes and jumps into the middle of the battlefield. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, the other ulama say that Allah is mentioning about the horses. Why Allah is taking a qasam on the horses? Whenever Allah takes a qasam in the Quran, generally, one object is to show the importance of that thing, the value of that thing in the sight of Allah ta'ala. Whatever he's used in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got great, great value in the sight of Allah ta'ala. Certain hadith it is mentioned that the urine of the horse, not in the path of Allah ta'ala, you're just keeping it in your house, and your intention is to use it in the path of Allah ta'ala. For 1 year you kept it in your house. Whatever food you gave the horse, whatever drink or water you gave the horse, whatever stool the horse made, whatever urine the horse made, all of this will be taken and put on the scale on the day of Qiyamah, and the person will get reward for that day. You're driving here to the majlis, you put petrol in the car, you added some water in the, what you call this, radiator, you're putting some tire, pressure in the tire, all of that will on the day of Qiyamah will count in your favor. You'll get rewarded for all of the day. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So myself also, I always used to have this doubt, that people make a lot of hulu, they say, you know, the dust on the buzruk's shoes is even greater than everything. So from this hadith I realized, that when the horse and the dung of the horse is so valuable in the sight of Allah ta'ala, it's got so much of status, so then automatically those things which are connected to the awliya, Allah, the friends of Allah ta'ala, because this is just a horse, not even the horseman, not even the mujahid himself. So if this has got so much of value, and they are fighting in the path of Allah ta'ala, not they have got Allah in their hearts. So the person has got Allah ta'ala in his heart, what is the value of him in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah ta'ala says, the horses have got so much of value in my sight. In anything in this world, which is used for the deen of Allah ta'ala, it has got great, great value. And Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُود. But unfortunately, man is very, very ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what, now the ulama say, now what is the rabt? What is the connection between these ayat? Everywhere in the Quran, where Allah has taken a qasam and an oath, there's got some connection between the two. What does a horse got to do with man being ungrateful? So Allah ta'ala says, oh, Hazrat Insan, oh human beings, you are the best of creation. I created this one horse, and I gave you in your milkiyat, in your possession. You own the horse. You only give it a little bit of water, and you give it a little bit of food. I created the water, I created the food. You just take the food and water which I created, and you put it before the horse. And the horse eats that. And the horse becomes fida for you. It's prepared to sacrifice its life for you. It becomes your slave. And it's prepared to go in the battlefield, die itself, but it will save your life. So Allah says, man, how ungrateful you are. You did nothing for the horse. We created you. We gave you, innal insana li rabbihi, your Rabb, your sustainer, the one who created you from non-existence, who gave you life, who gave you every single thing in this world. And you are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you be so ungrateful? If that horse, can't you take a lesson? وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْنَعَامِ لَعِبْرَةٍ. In the animals, Allah has given a great, great lesson for us. Take lessons from the horse. That what and what, the bounties we have, how the horse is prepared to sacrifice his life. Can't you sacrifice your life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah has given you everything. And you will give one life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will give you 100 lives in return. In this world already Allah will give a person greatest bounties. A few sacrifices he has to make. The desire comes, the taqaza of guna and sin. A person wants to watch movies. A person wants to watch pornography. He wants to watch filth and death. Now he says, Allah is watching me. How can I go into this here? And he breaks his desires for Allah's pleasure. And when you break your desires, your heart will pain. But definitely it has to pain. And when the heart pains, then a person feels the pain. And the heart cracks. At that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come in the heart of that person. He has to make that mujahada. As Hazrat Rakib Sahib rahmatullah says in another poem, he says that, Mene bhi bahut gham uthaya hai. I also went through a lot of gham and a lot of pain in my life. I also had a lot of taqaza and desires of guna and sin. That sin was in my heart also. But Mene bhi bahut gham uthaya hai. A lot of sacrifice I made in my life. So much so, Hazrat Mir Sahib Dawud Rakatum once mentioned to us, he said that Hazrat said that despite my desires, alhamdulillah, not once in my life ever, purposely I ever looked at any ghair mahram woman. My whole life, not once even purposely, I looked at any ghair mahram woman. This is a great level of kamal and perfection. But Allah is so merciful. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Allah loves those who are pure. But Allah loves those who make tawbah also. You make tawbah, everything marked, everything hidden away, closed, like you never ever saw another ghair mahram woman in your life. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all those gunas, taqazas and desires of gunas are there. Because if there was no desire of guna, a person could not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no imtihan, no examination. And Allah had to put this quality of love into a human being. When Allah ta'ala created insan, the angel was surprised. And they said, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said, I'm making a khalifa on the earth. So an atheist person was there, he read the ayat of the Quran, he said, I was shocked. He said, I was a Christian before, and I thought that we were sent in this world as a punishment. Allah sent us in this world as a punishment. And I come in this world, I'm sending you in this world as a punishment because of the first sin which you have done. He said, I read the Quran, I was surprised. Allah said, first thing, inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. I'm giving you an honorary position. I'm giving you a great honor and respect. I'm sending you in this world as my khalifa. You're coming in this world. You've got a very, very great object in life, purpose of life, that my qualities and sifat which are in me, you have to spread it in the world. You have to use those qualities. If a man doesn't have the quality of mercy with him, how is he going to show mercy to the whole of mankind? How? Yes, you have the quality. Allah Ta'ala has got the quality of mercy. We are the Khalifa of Allah on the earth. Like a person is the Khalifa of the king. So whatever the king's duty and job is, he has to do it in the place. The person is the Khalifa of the Sheikh. Whatever is the Sheikh's mansha and desire, he must continue doing that work. That's the work of that. So we are the Khalifa of Allah on the earth. Allah Ta'ala has transcended us in this world. So they were surprised. They said, oh Allah Ta'ala, أَتَجَعْلُ فِيَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيَا وَيَسْرِكُ الدِّمَا. You're going to put men in the world? That same one who will spread bloodshed in the world and he will kill أَتَجَعْلُ فِيَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيَا. Will cause facade and corruption in the earth. وَيَسْرِكُ الدِّمَا. And he will spread blood. Why? Because they saw two qualities in men. They saw the quality of shahwat and desire in men. Allah has created one quality where a man wants to get some things. He will have to earn in this world. He will have to get rosy. He will have to have. He will have to get married also. To get children also. Things, a desire for things. And he will have another quality of defense. He will be able to defend himself. So when the angels saw these two things, and in there is anger, a person has to get angry to defend himself. So they saw these two things. They said, oh Allah, you got a man, he's got quwwat al-ghadabiyya and shahwiyya. Two strengths he's got. One of shahwat and desire, and the other one of anger. He's going to cause a lot of fasad in that. He'll make zina. Every woman he sees, he will commit adultery and fornication with her. And on the other side, he'll want to kill people. He'll murder people. Because he's got so much of anger within himself. So Allah Ta'ala said, you people, you don't know what I know. إِنِّيَ أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you people don't know. It means, my knowledge is perfect. You don't understand all of these things. And then anyhow, the ulama have written in great detail, but Allah Ta'ala created these two qualities in human beings. Why? Because with love, a person could get the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And with anger, a person could use that anger against shaitan, against nafs, against the enemies of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And show his love for Allah Ta'ala in that way. He will defend the deen of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He become angry for the objectives of deen. He will be able to defend himself, his family. And he will give his life in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. A person in jihad, he is giving life for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. This is why it comes in the hadith. مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَدَ لِلَّهِ. A person who loves for the pleasure of Allah. And he hates for the pleasure of Allah. So that love is there, but you must use it for Allah. You hate also, you must hate for Allah's pleasure. The enemies of Allah, the guna and sin which is taking place, hate for Allah's pleasure. وَآطَى لِلَّهِ. A person who gives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ. And he keeps back for Allah's pleasure. فَقَدْ اِسْتَكْمَلَ إِمَانَهُ. That person's iman is kamil and perfect. Now that person has got, everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, now he's the khalifa of Allah. Because every action he's doing, that Allah ta'ala was supposed to do in this world. Allah is sending his mercy. Allah is giving rosy and sustenance. Allah is forgiving. That is why many times in our life we have problems, somebody does wrong to us. So why they are doing wrong to us? It is Allah's mercy. Allah wants us to manifest the quality of mercy and forgiveness to that person. If that person never did wrong to us, Allah would show forgiveness. And the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam came in as well. What and what problems they have in their life also. But Allah Ta'ala didn't say, take it easy, or Allah Ta'ala said, oh, bashiri sawabirin. Give them glad tidings. It's a great honor I'm giving you this examination. Because why? You're going to get such high ranks by me. Without patience, without difficulties coming upon you, you can never progress. You can never go up in life. You will stay low. So Allah Ta'ala gives a person progress by means of this. There's one beautiful example. Once a person was walking, and on the floor he saw one, what do you call this, before it becomes a butterfly? The moth, the moth. He saw it walking, now normally it's inside a cocoon. And slowly it struggles, and it comes out, and then it breaks through the cocoon and comes out and it flies. So he saw the thing struggling and trying to come out. So he took one scissor, and he cut through the cocoon to make it easy for that animal. That's realizing that the only way the animal can come out from the cocoon is when the thing, it forces itself, it presses. Eventually Allah makes it such that the wings come out, and eventually the thing is able to fly. So he thought he was showing mercy to it by cutting that cocoon of it, but moth for the rest of its life remained on the floor, it couldn't go up. But now when the difficulty came upon him, now he was able to fly. See, when a child comes in the world also, he has to scream first time. When it screams, then the lungs open up and a person starts breathing. The difficulty, everyone has to go through difficulty in life. If a woman gave birth without difficulty, no life would have come in this world. Life comes when the difficulty comes. So a person, many times a person goes through life, there are difficulties and problems in a person's life. Allah wants a person to progress by means of the day. So Allah has created these qualities within a person. So these same qualities, the object of the hanka and the tasawwuf is, that these qualities which Allah has created into us, in us, is to bring it into moderation. The quality of lust, if a person doesn't have it all in him, he cannot be the Khalifa of Allah on the earth. He can become a wali of Allah, he cannot become a khas wali, a special wali of Allah Ta'ala, because he hasn't got desire within him. He can never ever get the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you got too much of lust, he will commit zina, he will do a lot of wrongs. So the object of the soul is now to bring the person. Your lust must be there, it must be controlled. A person has got anger in him, too much of anger, This is harmful for a person. It will destroy a person. All the time he's getting angry. He will destroy himself, destroy his family members. So that's on one extreme. On the other extreme, a person doesn't have any anger at all within himself. Somebody comes to interfere with his wife. He starts laughing. He says, no problem. You can carry on. So that person now, somebody comes and attacks his family. They want to kill his family. He says, okay, I'm giving everything up. So that's weakness in a person. Perfection in Kamal is the person must have anger also. But the anger must be controlled. That anger must be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. It must be for deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah's commands are broken, a person has become angry. For example, we came to the masjid today, you see a person, he hasn't got a beard. Do we ever get in our hearts, we feel a sadness in our hearts, we become angry that Allah's command is broken. Not that we look down upon that person, but did we ever make dua, ya Allah, give this person a, alhamdulillah, you gave me the tawfiq, ya Allah, give this person a tawfiq. You're walking on the roads and a person without iman is walking. If there's ever thought come in our hearts, that this person is living with kufr and disbelief, that anger comes in our hearts, and then we make this dua, ya Allah, give this person iman. One is giving him dawah, this is very high still. We haven't even reached the lowest level of iman. But at least in our hearts we are feeling bad and making dua for that person. So at least this feeling must come within a person. A person has got knowledge. Knowledge is a very, very great thing. But if a person has got too little knowledge also, that's jahalat and ignorance. And if a person has got too much of knowledge, not within the bounds of sharia, then this is called when a person becomes sly, person becomes cunning, person becomes too clever. Allah has given a person brains, but he must use his brains in the correct way. Whatever bounties Allah has given, they say once that there was a machine they made in America, any thief, it will catch. So it was a very amazing machine, so they made it. The first day they caught 100 people, thieves. So then they sent it to England. They said, we also got a big problem here. So they went to England. And there, the first day they used it, 200 people got caught. So then they said, let's send it to Pakistan. There's a lot of crooks there also. So they sent it to Pakistan. First day, the machine got stolen. See, so Allah has given people such brains. They stole a machine also. So how a person has got his brains and akal. But we are using that akal in the wrong place. No, we have to use it in the right place. In where exactly Allah has commanded us. So this is the whole object of tasawwuf, to bring all of our qualities into a moderate way. And this is the example of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No ifrat, no tafreet, no excesses also on one side, no deficiencies on one side. But exact medium, a middle path a person is following. Hukukul law also is being fulfilled on one side. Hukukul ibad also. If a person is only reading namaz the whole day and night, he doesn't worry about his family, he doesn't worry about his business, then this person is not a true khalifa of Allah on the earth. The true khalifa of Allah on the earth, because if you've got no family members, then how are you going to establish justice in your house? How are you going to show mercy to your children? How are you going to forgive your wife? All of these qualities of Allah Ta'ala have to manifest themselves in a person. He has to bring these qualities within himself, the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyhow, when a person gets the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that, oh Allah Ta'ala, it's through your kindness that we've got this desire. Sohbati ahli dil jisne paayi na ho. A person who has not got the company of the ahli dil, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, uska gham gham nahi, uska dil dil nahi. His sorrow and sadness, his pain is no pain, and his heart is no heart. Because he has not got the true love in his heart. He's got love, but love of this worldly things, of small, small things of this world, which has got no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jis jaga aapka qurb milta na ho, hoke manzil bhi wo meri manzil nahi. Any place where your nearness is not acquired, though it is a destination, yet it is not a worthy destination, it is not my destination, where I want to go to. I want to reach you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many, many people in the world, they are, who make a lot of ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they stop there. The object of life is Jannat. There are many people in this world who make ibadat of Allah ta'ala, who get saved from the fire of Jahannam. It's very Mubarak and blessed, but my station is one higher. My object of life is to get the qurb and closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, غَيْرِ حَقْ سِيَ لَغَاتَا هَا جُوْ أَبْنَا دِلْ. Any person whose heart is connected to anybody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَرِي أُلْفَتْ كِي غَمْكَ وَحَامِلْ نَهِ. He carries not the pain of your love in his heart. His heart is attached to somebody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you mentioned, what a foolish person is he. He's putting his heart to anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it's a person's money, whether it's a person's house, whether it's a person's business, whether it's a person's family also. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi mentions, he says that a person must make the dhikr of Allah ta'ala, and this is the importance of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says continuously make the dhikr of Allah ta'ala. In the beginning when you make dhikr, the dhikr will remain on your lips, on your tongue. But as you continue making dhikr of Allah ta'ala, eventually a time will come when the dhikr will come on the outside part of the heart. The outer part of the heart. As you continue progressing, it will come into the heart. And when it comes in the heart of a person, this is called fana. Now at this time, like you see, like a fruit, you got the skin outside, then you got the fruit inside, and inside, right in the middle, you got a pus. So he says, one is on the tongue, it's not even on the fruit. If you continue making dhikr of Allah ta'ala, daily you make your dhikr punctuality. Eventually it will come on the outer portion of the heart. As a person continues making effort, Then eventually it goes, when it comes in the outer portion of the heart, the person remembers Allah Ta'ala many, many times. His mind and heart automatically goes to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, but not fully. Eventually it comes inside. So this is called fana. I say at this time, even if you don't want to remember Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you won't be able to do so. If you think I want to take out Allah Ta'ala from my heart, you won't be able to do so. It will be just there. And he says then it goes more and more, a person makes zikr of Allah Ta'ala, it comes eventually into the seed itself, into the in-depth of the heart. He says this is a very high level. He says at this time you even forget the zikr. Now in your heart it's only the mazkur. Even when you're making zikr, you can't remember the zikr also, you're only remembering Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In your heart all the time is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He says, maybe for us people will never understand these things. He says, but an easy example is somebody falls in love with a woman. And he's so madly in love with her, he's walking on the road, he can't even see the stone on the road, he falls down, he doesn't realize I'm bleeding also. His mind is somewhere else. Because, or somebody attacks you, you're so angry at that time, you got a gun, but you just go and hit him, you don't know why you hit him, you're so angry at that moment. You forget the gun in his hand, you forget everything. So he says, how your mind becomes like that? When a person reaches that level, only Allah is in his heart all the time. So this is the importance of the zikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You should not undermine it, take it as a, oh, you have to make zikr. Hazrat says you must make zikr, it's very important. Not tawab. It's not only for tawab. The main object of the zikr is that Allah must come in the heart of a person. And how will a person get this love of Allah Ta'ala? The most important thing is zikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He says, aapka ho pat aur kisi ka na ho. Oh Allah, I only want to be yours and no one else's. Koi leila nahi, koi mahmil nahi. I don't want to have any leila, nor the tent of leila also, or the conveyance of leila. I don't want leila itself or the things of leila, the beauties of this world, the enjoyments of this world. As you mentioned, this has got no value in the sight of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. One day there was one person, he made a lot of effort in this world. It's just a story from the Lal Kitab. It's not a true story. He made a lot of effort in this world. He said, so much of gold he got. And took all of this gold and he made dua, Ya Allah, I made so much of effort for this gold. Ya Allah, please give me the tawfiq. When I pass away, I take all of this gold with me. Na akhirat. So anyhow, his dua was accepted. So when he passed away, his whole box of gold, he put it in a cover with him. And anyhow, he came to the angels now. So they say that, what have you brought? You're not supposed to bring anything from dunya besides your amal, your neck actions, your good actions. What have you brought? He said, I've got this box here. Very valuable things in here. We can't let you inside Jannat with this, but let me go find out. So he went and found out, he came back, he said, you know what, we have to first make inspection, go through the box. So when he opened the box, the person, he was so happy to show him his gold. So the angel looked inside, he said, oh, you brought some building blocks here, building bricks. Because in Jannat, the palaces, one brick is of gold, one brick is of silver. So what is the value of this gold? And that's the goal of Jannat. So he's saying the goal of this world is like the bricks, like one person is going to Dubai, he's going to move there. So he comes to the airport for 50 kilos. So they think what valuable things he brought from South Africa. They open, they find bricks there. See, I brought bricks to build my house. See, you are a stupid person. You could have brought valuable things like gold, diamonds, etc. So our amal is very, very valuable in the sight of Allah. One, subhanAllah, what value it has got. We'll never ever understand it until we go there in the year after. So as I say here, I'm not running after any woman or any conveyance. Akhtar, as we're saying, I am announcing it openly at the top of my voice that the ocean of Allah Ta'ala's love and nearness have got no shores, there is no limit to it. You can love Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and continue loving Allah Ta'ala and more and more and more. You can go in this. Just like how guna and sin, a person goes more and more into it. There is no limit to it. A person's desires is like the sea water. When a person drinks sea water, your thirst only increases and increases and increases. It never ever gets satiated. And you want more and more. You can drink the whole ocean also. You'll die. There's a sickness in Arabic called istisqa. The person is drinking water and he gets more thirsty and more thirsty. This is exactly what guna and sins are. And if a person goes in that direction, no matter what sin he will do, as Hakim ul-Matani rahmatullah alayhi says, if you make zina with every single woman in the world, because shaitan tells you, maybe the enjoyment I'll get in that woman. He says, every single woman in the world you make zina with, besides one woman, then thought will come to my mind, you know what, the enjoyment which I was looking for must be in this last woman. So there's no ending to a person's desires in this world, haram desires. Similarly, in the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, there's no desires for it, there's no end to that. The more a person will progress in that path, the more his enjoyment in this world already, Allah will give him more and more enjoyment. They will become more and more parashani, more and more worries, more and more depression, a person will feel more and more uneasy, and a person will destroy himself. So may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant myself and all of us tawfiq to get the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Just to end off, inshallah, I will mention one beautiful example I came across. Also, our Hazrat mentioned his ta'aleem is every day, one of our ma'amulat, actions we should do every day, is every morning we should think to ourselves, what is the object of my life? Why have I come in this world? So a beautiful example is given. There was a person one day in a plane. He He woke up. He was unconscious. He woke up. He found himself in a plane. And the plane is moving at a very, very fast speed. And now while the plane is moving, he's sitting there. He got no fikr in his mind and thought to ask, where am I going to? But he's just sitting there and he looks around him and he sees some beautiful, beautiful pictures. There's some lovely books there, novels there. There's lovely food in front of him. Beautiful air hostesses moving around him. So his mind is going to all of those things. And they've got some magazines in front. He's sitting and reading those magazines, walking around. You're going to the toilet, using the toilet, coming, sitting down. But no fikr and consent to ever look outside the window. They've got a guide in the aeroplane which is showing you exactly where you're going to. He doesn't open the guide. He doesn't look in the guide. He don't want to ask the captain. And every half an hour, they're calling one person to the front. And you're seeing it also. They're opening the door and they're pushing the guy out of the plane. After another half an hour, they call another person, pushing him out. But you're sitting and relaxing. No, they're pushing these guys. I'm sure they'll never ever call me. So you call that person an intelligent person or a stupid person. And a stupid person, a foolish person. So he says the same example is like us. We are also moving in a plane. The plane of life. And this plane is moving at extremely fast speeds. And we came in this world without, the person opened his eyes, he found himself in a plane. We opened our eyes, we found ourselves in dunya. And we're moving at extremely fast pace towards akhirat. But like how you're sitting in the plane, you're moving at 1,000 kilometers per hour, no one knows. When you're flying up, you're moving 300 kilometers, you feel I'm flying. When you're up in the air, you're moving 1,000 kilometers, you don't feel I'm flying. You feel I'm stationary. But you're actually moving at a very, very fast pace. So we are moving at a very, very fast pace. Every day we are hearing one person is flying off this plane, one person's janazah is taking place. But he doesn't open our eyes that by tomorrow I'm going to be also thrown off this plane. He's going to throw me off also. He doesn't ever come to our mind. And the enjoyments around us, we are looking at those things, we are getting enjoyment, we are taking benefit from them. And our guidebook is there, the Quran Sharif is there, that this is the place you're going to. And the Quran Sharif is going to tell you the first and most important thing, as soon as you land, they want to see your passport. You got no passport, Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Where there's heavy, heavy guards there, there's very, very big size guys, they punish you, they beat you up, what and what, they do torture you. And you will remain there forever and forever. You got no papers. So get your papers ready. That's why we've got you in the aeroplane here. Sit here, fill up your papers. And what is passport? Passport of Iman. But it's not sufficient to have your passport only. Around you is a lot of nice, enjoyable things. There's lovely cold drink, there, ice creams. You have them, you get sick. When you land at the airport, any sick people, they put in quarantine first. They don't allow you directly inside. So if you use all the wrong things in a plane, some things you can use, no problem, use it. But if you're using the wrong things, then you're going to get sick. And when you land there, you have to go through quarantine. You go through quarantine, they put you inside the hospital 3 weeks. Heavy doctors there, no pretty nurses there also. And heavy injections, they're going to give you medication, they're going to hurt you, put you under what and what tests, until eventually you become clean. Then you'll be allowed in the garden, the island. And the person who goes for the proper, his passport is right also, his papers are right, he stayed away from the wrong things in the aeroplane for a short while because he knew the distance is very, very short. There are so many other bounties I can use here. I use that correctly. And he never used the wrong things. Now when he will land, he's got his passport ready. And he's got directly entry into that island. Enjoyments forever and forever for that person. So this is our example of our life. We want to go to either Jahannam without Iman. Or we want to go via Jahannam to Jannat. See, we got Iman, but we're not doing good actions. We are involving guna and sin. We're not taking our precautions, not taking our medication. And we are getting sick in the plane, we're going to have a problem. But on the other hand, a person who makes tawbah, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will forgive a person, and Allah will give a person the greatest of bounties in this world, qabr and akhirat. We must turn our attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give myself first and all of us tawfiq.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. فاذكروني أذكركم أنا جليس من ذكرني دل نراه جايك ميدانه توهي تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل درد دل ہوں غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھوں جدھر لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلهي عطا ذرة درد دل کہ مرتا ہے بے درد بیمار تیرا کوئی تجھ سے کچھ کوئی کچھ چاہتا ہے میں تجھ سے میاں طلبگار تیرا نہیں دونوں عالم سے کچھ مجھ کو مطلب تو مطلوب میں ہوں طالب تیرا اٹھا غم رکھ امید امداد حق سے تجھے غم کیا اللہ جل جلالہ تعالی شان اللہ اللہ اللہ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء وترك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك وحب عمل الذي يبلغنا حبك وحب من ينفعنا حبه عندك وحب نبيك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من أن تسد عنا وجهك الكريم يوم القيامة اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك واجعل موتنا في بلد حبيبك صلى الله عليه وسلم برضوانك ومغفرتك وكرمك وجودك ومنك وفضلك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين